everybody. Welcome to Suplex City Geeks. This is episode 16. Joining me today, well, this is Steve. Yeah, I didn't say that the first time. And joining me today, I got Brian.
What's up?
Chilling, man. It's been a very interesting weekend of wrestling this past weekend. Had a lot of shit happening, which was very fucking fun. It was very cool. It was very different. You don't usually get three different pay-per-views on a weekend. Well, we do, but three major pay-per-views on a weekend. We got WWE's Clash of the Castle, followed by NXT's Worlds Collide, and All Out. AEW's All Out. Three totally different pay-per-views. All very, very fucking entertaining. A lot of things are very torn over in the WWE world because, of course, you know, now that Vince isn't there anymore, Triple H is basically taking over and he's been doing the thing over there. And it's been quite entertaining, I must say. Hasn't been great, I mean, but still entertaining. But it's getting there. It's getting better.
It's him basically trying to unclusterfuck all the dumbass stories that Vince has done over the course of the last X amount of time. And so he's trying to do whatever he can to, like,
to make it better.
It's almost like when a different writer takes over. Mm-hmm. Like, here, best way to, in most recent times, it's like when J.J. Abrams had to course correct what happened with Rian Johnson's Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, just had to, like, figure out how to unclusterfuck it.
Exactly, rework it, and and twist it in just the way that it was somewhat acceptable to people that, you know, didn't really look too much into it.
Right.
But then, of course, there are people that look way too much into it. They'll just take it for what it is and make sure that it's just entertaining. Because that's what I tend to do. I tend to try and find the most entertaining parts of things. And for the most part, it hits the mark. It hits the mark in saying that, okay, yeah, this was entertaining. I like where this is going. I see how things can eventually mold into something a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff in the WWE definitely has that direction in which it's going in, and it's exciting to see what they're gonna do over there. Because I've said it a bunch of times for a while. Like, I haven't been watching it for a long time. Just recently, within like the last year or so, I've started watching the WWE stuff. Which is also another reason why we started doing this show was because I actually started to enjoy it a little bit. And this Clash of the Castle was actually pretty enjoyable. Wasn't the best pay-per-view, but it was actually pretty good. I know you only watched a little bit of it, but I sat through the whole thing and I enjoyed the whole thing because it was fun. It was a fun show. They started
I'll take your word for that.
That's fair.
Fun show.
Yeah, it was a fun show. The first match was Bayley with Dakota Kai and Io Sky versus Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, and Asuka. Which, they're all fantastic fucking wrestlers. All of them doing their thing like they always do. It's good seeing, you know, Bayley back and actually having an actual match because she it's been a while since she's pretty much been in the ring. She had like one or two matches since she came back from at SummerSlam, but this was like a full on match. Was actually really good, and it's good seeing that there will be potential with Bayley going up against Bianca Belair for the title. Sometime soon. Because at the end of this match, Bayley was the one to pin Bianca Belair at the end of the match. And that was actually, it was like I said, it was a fun match. But I kind of want to see where this is going to continue and how this is going to go further into the future. Because Bayley's awesome. She's really, really good, and I'm glad that she's back. And she's in contention for that title.
Yeah.
Everybody else was awesome. I really want to see more of Asuka and Io Sky. They really know how to fucking put together a match and fucking beat each other up. So that's good. I want to see more of that. Especially them bringing that, you know, that Joshi style Japanese wrestling into the WWE world. It's going to be fun. And of course, it's always good to see Asuka, Alexa Bliss. But she's fucking good too, and she hasn't really had a good shine over there in a long time.
No, they've kind of just shat on her for the longest time.
Yeah, ever since they started doing that whole run with her and with the whole gimmick with the Fiend with Bray Wyatt.
Yeah,
that was very weird that they did that, and then the way that, you know, when she came back, she was like with a psychiatrist and shit. Like, this doesn't make any sense. Why are they doing this with her character? And they were like, oh yeah, I'm all good. And then she still didn't go anywhere. So seeing that they're actually going to build her character and trying to do something with her is going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. My throat's all jacked up this moment, just after as recording. Why would this doing this now when I'm recording?
Always.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. It's fair. It's whatever. The next match after that was actually one of the matches that I was actually really looking forward to. That was Walter versus Sheamus. I call him Walter because I really, like I've said it before, I'm not a fan of Gunther. I don't like that name. It just doesn't do anything for me.
Because there's that whole, like, right, there was the whole, like, controversy of, like, why name him Gunther, and it's that whole, like, back to the Austrians and, like, the...
Right.
Or the Nazis and whatever.
Yeah, yeah, but it just doesn't... Like, even just as a name itself, it doesn't matter, like, oh, yeah, it has that whole other shit going on, but, like, I'm just not a fan of it. It just doesn't... Like, why fuck up something that was actually good? I enjoy the name of Walter. Mm-hmm. It just fit better. But just before the match, Ludwig Kaiser was introducing Walter. But not only did he introduce Walter, but he also essentially reformed Imperium with Giovanni Vinci. Which was kind of cool, because they all came out, you know, as the Imperium. And that was pretty cool that they did that just before the match. Because, of course, you know, Sheamus has his man with him the entire time. His men, which are Butch and what was the other one? Broderick or whatever. Is that him? Am I tripping?
I don't remember.
Okay, well... Yeah, I think it is. So whatever. Well, they start, like, just like they did a couple weeks ago on SmackDown. Everybody else started fighting before the match actually started happening, and then Gunther and Sheamus were just in the ring staring each other down until everybody got out of the ring, and they actually rang the bell, and that's when they started going at it, and that was a battle, dude. It was a brawl. It was a dope brawl. Like, I enjoyed I like seeing this type of match. It's very similar to what we saw in the 0 Hour over on AEW with Kingston and Ishii. Mm-hmm. Pretty much a slap fest. Which I enjoy. I enjoy a chop fest. It's so fucking fun. Just seeing dudes just slap the fuck out of each other. It's just a hardcore fight, and I enjoy it. Gunther wound up winning after he hit Sheamus with a huge fucking lariat, and he retained the Intercontinental title because it was for the for that title, which was the only championship that he that Sheamus hasn't had in his entire run over in WWE. He's had everything else but that. So it was very interesting to see where it was the stakes that was in this match for that one at least. It was a fun match, like I said. I really enjoyed it. They beat the shit out of each other, and I like that. I like when I see, I like when they do those things, those type of matches, because they're super fucking fun. I guess I'll say it again, all the time. I enjoy the violence. it's fun. It's entertaining. And then the match after that was Liv Morgan versus Shayna Baszler for the SmackDown Women's Championship. And this was a good match, too. Shayna Baszler is a fucking beast in the ring. And I really enjoy her beating Liv Morgan's ass. Because even though I do enjoy Liv Morgan in the ring, she's really good. But Shayna Baszler is just another level type of wrestler. Because she has that MMA background. She's a fighter. So right. Just seeing her just beat ass the entire time. And then, you know, Liv Morgan just coming back and trying to do something else. And give a little bit of offense here to, you know, to make it better for herself was pretty fun. And then she winds up going in for the pin. She got the pin over Shayna Baszler, and it was good. It was good. It was a good match. Of course, Liv Morgan retained, which there are more, you know, possibilities that she can either go up against her again, or possibilities of Ronda Rousey trying to build something another match with her sometime soon. Maybe they'll make pay-per-view, but who knows. Then we got my favorite match of the evening, which was Edge and Rey Mysterio against Judgment Day.
Don't you mean the House of Purple?
Yeah, the House of Purple. Yes, I do call them the House of Purple, and it's only right to call them the House of Purple because they come out with a bunch of purple all over the place. But this was a really good match. Probably the best match on the entire card. Great back and forth. Finn Balor's fucking fantastic. Damian Priest, so fucking good. And of course we know Edge and Rey Mysterio are fucking great too. But at one point, Edge and Rey Mysterio both switch roles and they did each other's finishers and stuff. They did, Rey Mysterio did a, no, Edge did a 619 on Finn Balor. And, Rey Mysterio did another one of Edge's moves. Rey Mysterio did the spear on Damian Priest. It's pretty fun. It was a real fun match. It was really, really, like, it was really enjoyable. It was good. It was good. I really enjoyed seeing this the way this match went. And then at the end of it all, Rey hit the 619, basically going in for the pin. And against over Edge, like over Finn Balor, and this was really fucking good. It was a really fun match. But what I loved about it was the post match, when Dominic pretty much turned on his dad, because they were all, you know, celebrating inside of the ring or whatever, and then Edge is very much like Dominic was pretty much like, oh, like, why did you do this? Why did you take this chance away from me actually, you know, doing my thing and being with my dad or whatever? Being, you know, the jealous kid that he is at this point. Mm-hmm. And then he gets pissed off and he just kicks him in the nuts. So another week that Edge gets hit in the dick. I guess he might enjoy that. I don't know. It may be a thing. That may be, you know, best thing. That's probably why she got pissed when Rhea Ripley did it. But it was very interesting. It was a really cool. It was a really cool point at that point. And then Rey Mysterio was pretty much like, "Yo, why would you do that? You know, he helped us win or something like that." He was like, "Oh, well, whatever." And then Dominic hits Rey with a speed with a lariat too, and pretty much knocks him over. One shot, done. Very interesting. And then he walks out with Rhea at the end of the match. And then he actually walks out, and then Judgment Day or the House of Perfect are sitting in the corner just laughing at, you know, Edge and Rey Mysterio while they're in the ring, just like wallowing over each other. It was very fun. It was a very fun, you know, fun look at what could essentially happen. And then of course we were recording on Monday, I saw earlier that Rey Mysterio pretty much came out with a new look with Rhea. He came out with his hair slicked back and wearing all black. You know, not a bad look for him, but interesting to see where this whole thing is going to go. Then following this up was another awesome match with now he officially goes back with his name Matt Riddle.
Yeah,
no longer is he just Riddle. He goes as with his name, full name, Matt Riddle. Against Seth freaking Rollins. I absolutely fucking love Seth fucking Rollins.
Mm-hmm. He's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, he's really good to watch. Very entertaining, super fucking cool. And Riddle also, he's fucking good too. It's just crazy how much they really put themselves out in that ring. And mm-hmm. It's really entertaining. Really fucking good. This match was a banger of a match. I really enjoyed the hell out of it. And, like, there wasn't a bad moment throughout this entire match. It wasn't what are you doing? Why are you doing this? No, a lot of near falls. A lot of almost submissions. A lot of good back and forth. And I really fucking loved it. And then Seth at the end pretty much hit him with the Avalanche Black up, and it was over. Pretty much went for the pin, and it was a wrap. It was a good match. Fun match. Very, 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 very good back and forth. Hopefully this whole little gimmick between them there, that whole little storyline is over. But I wouldn't be mad again if they continued with more. Because I like seeing them. I like seeing them both. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. If this is going to continue, or if it's going to just end it right here. Because this was a fun thing to watch. I really enjoyed it. Then the next match after this was the main event, which was Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns for the Undisputed Universal Championship. And it was a fun match. It wasn't a bad match, but just like most heavyweight matches, they're brawls, and you would expect something a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Not that I was expecting, like, you know, like a huge battle, but this was a typical match between them. Nothing too crazy, nothing too bad. A lot of back and forth, almost near falls, false finishes. One of the best parts of this match was towards the end when, now going by Austin Theory, he runs out with a ref and he's like, "Yo, like, I want to cash in my, you know, my money in the bank." And then he brings it to the timekeeper or whatever. He's about to hand it to him, and then Tyson Fury in the crowd knocks him out.
Mm-hmm.
Basically saying, "No, you're not cashing the shit in now." And they continue with the match, which was fun. Like, I like the fact that, like, every time that Austin Theory tries to cash it in, he gets shit on every single fucking time.
He's just a fucking joke at this point.
I really think so. Like, he hasn't really done anything much than just, like, make me laugh every time he's in the fucking ring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I get it, you know. It's whatever. But another awesome point for this match. It was good back and forth, but of course, but towards the end of the match, Drew hits Reigns with a claymore, and just as he's about to pin him, somebody shows up and interferes. They pull out the ref from the ring. They pull out the ref, and it turns out that this masked individual or hooded individual is Solo Sikoa, who's from NXT, but he's also one of the Usos. He's the Usos' younger brother, and he comes out and he pretty much is like, "Yo, like," essentially bringing him to the main roster. Essentially, at this point, him joining the Bloodline officially, and then at that point, he hits him with a spear, and then pins McIntyre, and that was sad because I was expecting McIntyre to actually win, but yeah, that didn't happen. But of course, like most WWE matches, you don't really get your hometown win,
right? But you know, predictable match once again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very predictable.
Get your hopes up, and you're just like, why? What's the point? Because it's only going to be Roman.
Yeah. What was very weird was after the match, instead of just cutting after, you know, when Reigns was walking to the back with Solo Sikoa, the cameras turned back to Tyson Fury coming out to talking to McIntyre. And like, oh, yeah, you know, you did good for your country or whatever. Everybody's proud of you, blah, blah, blah. And then they started singing, "Bye, bye, Mr. American Pie," in the middle of the ring. Why did they sing that song? I don't know.
Yeah, that's weird.
It made no fucking sense. But it's okay. It was decent. It was weird that they did that. Especially since it was in the UK and they were singing American Pie. Mm-hmm. I don't get it, but whatever. It was a decent show. It was fun. It wasn't bad. Like I said, one of my favorite matches was the Judgment Day and Rey Mysterio and Edge match. That was a really good one. My next one after that was probably the Matt Riddle and Seth Rollins match. Those were the two banger matches of the entire night that I really enjoyed. And overall, I guess if I were to give it a rating, I'd probably give it like a 3 out of 5. Not too great, right. Not too bad. It was decent. It was passable. I enjoyed it. It was fun. Nothing, like I said, nothing stand out. Like, oh my god, this is the best thing ever. It was fun. It was decent. Then the next day, which was Sunday, they had NXT's Worlds Collide. And this was fun because this was actually at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I was like, okay. I was worried at one point that this was going to be at the same time as All Out. But it wasn't. Right. It was in the middle of the day. And I was like, great. I will watch this too. Because I was already planning on watching it anyway for the show. But the fact that it was on earlier in the day, and I didn't have to worry about going back and forth between both shows.
Right.
Good enough for me. I'll take it. It started off with a banger of a match. It's probably the best match on the entire roster, on the entire show. Ricochet versus Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo Hayes is fucking fantastic. When I saw him at the house show over here down the block, he was really fucking good. Really cool dude to meet afterwards. But also against former NXT North American champ in Ricochet. This was a fantastic fucking opener. Great back and forth. So much fucking, like, fast pace. They didn't stop the entire time. Good 10-15 minute match. Fun back and forth. I really enjoyed it. Carmelo Hayes is fucking fantastic. I can't wait to see him actually showing up on the main roster. But it was a really, really, really good match. And Carmelo Hayes wound up retaining the belt against Ricochet. And that was very surprising because Ricochet's fucking great too. And he hasn't had a good run on the main roster at the moment. So this was really fun. I really enjoyed it. The entire time, everybody was screaming pretty much holy shits the entire time. Or like either that holy shit or fight forever or this is awesome. The entire time. So it goes to show you. This is one of those matches that you need to pay attention to, especially Carmelo Hayes. He's really fucking good. So if you ever get a chance to actually watch a Carmelo Hayes match, do it. Because it's good. He's one of the best in NXT right now. Then, of course, we know that they are trying to unify the titles between the NXT UK and the regular NXT over here.
Yeah.
Because they're getting rid of NXT UK.
Right. They released a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, the majority of them. The only people that weren't really released at the moment were essentially the people that came over to do this match or whatever, this event. Or, you know, a couple of people that, you know, are pretty much staggering their way over to this side of things. Or that bumped up to the main roster in some way. But it was a four-way elimination match. Four-way tag elimination match between the trying to unify the NXT, the main NXT and the UK titles all in one. That was, who was it? Because it was four teams, two of which I didn't really watch two of which I didn't really know of because they were from the NXT UK. Which was Briggs and Jensen, who were the UK champions. I didn't really know of them. Also Gallus, who I don't know much of them either.
Right.
And they were going up against the Creed brothers, who I've seen them in ring before, and Pretty Deadly, who I am not a fan of. Both of all those, I saw them at the. At the event that they had over here too, and this is a decent match. It wasn't bad. The first team that you know gets pinned gets eliminated, and then you keep going until you're down to the last two teams, and then whoever wins those last two wins the titles. It was alright. It was decent back and forth, and then at the end, Pretty Deadly wound up winning against the Creed Brothers. I really enjoyed the Creed Brothers with the belt. But that didn't happen. They lost, mostly because one of their members from the Diamond Mine, which is the group that the Creed brothers are in, one of the dudes in the team pretty much turned on them, hitting him with a chair, and then Pretty Deadly pretty much came out and went for the pin, which was sad, but it was okay. This was like I said, it was a decent match. It wasn't great. It was whatever. And then the next one was the triple threat match for the unification of the women's titles. And this was a fun one because of course, Mandy Rose is the U.S. champion. Then it had Michael Satora, who's been around forever. She's been around since the 90s. She was in WCW for a long time. And she is the NXT UK champion. And Blair Davenport, who used to be Bay Priestley over in AEW. But of course, she's in the UK as well. But this was a fun match. This wasn't bad. I really wanted Mei Sakura to win. Mei Satomura to win. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. It was a good back and forth regardless, but Mandy Rose came out on top, which I'm not mad about it because she's actually pretty good in the ring as well. She's one of those ones that actually was on the main roster, then she got bumped down to NXT and is actually striving over at NXT. She's not bad. This was a really good match. Towards the end of the match, the the girls from Toxic Attraction ran out, and Satomura pretty much started beating ass outside of the match, outside of the ring. And it was good. It was a decent. This was a decent match. It was one of the better matches of the night. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I really, like I said, I really wanted Satomura to actually come up with the win, but that didn't happen. But we'll see. We'll see if she somehow continues into this realm eventually. If she continues with NXT, or she winds up going over to the main roster, because she's really damn good. Or if she just pretty much is like, oh yeah, I'm done with this, because she's been around forever, since the 90s. Yeah, the fact that she is a champ for now, and then, or she was a champ until this weekend. Where she's going to go would be very interesting. But I liked it. It was fun. It was a fun match. It was like, if I were to rate it, I'd give this match like a B. The Carmelo Hayes one was like an A+. This is like a B. Or like a 3 or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is like a 4. Carmelo Hayes was like a 5. And then we had the women's tag match. It's a regular tag match, not like, you know, unifying anything. Women's tag match. Between Nikki A.S.H. and Doudrop against Chance and Carter. It was a really fun match. I was not expecting this to be a really fun match because I really thought that, you know, Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. was going to come out with the win. But that didn't happen. Actually, I got this mixed up with the last one, which was when Toxic Attraction came out, because they came out for this match. And at this point, this is when Nikki A.S.H. was actually the one that started beating everybody's ass, because she is a superhero. And she did it. She did her thing. And then Doudrop actually wound up, you know, getting her ass beat in the ring at the end. And Chance and Carter actually came out and, you know, pinned her or whatever. A decent match. Not too bad. Like I said, I was expecting more. I wanted more. I wanted Nikki A.S.H. and actually Doudrop to actually come out with the win. But, who am I? I'm just a guy that actually wants to see this type of thing. but it was a fun match. It wasn't bad. And then the main event, there was only a few matches on this. It was fucking good. You know, it was only like 2 hours. It was a unification match between the Bron Breakker and Tyler Bate, who was the NXT UK champ. And this was actually a really good match. Bron Breakker is fucking awesome. Tyler Bate is fucking great. And it was just a good back and forth. What was really cool at the beginning of the match, they had like a lot of... They did essentially, like, as he was walking out, they had a vignette of like all the NXT UK champs, basically, like, as he was walking to the ring, they had like little clips of them like on the wall as he was walking towards the front. So it was pretty cool seeing like all the little, every little champ that was the NXT champ over there. Essentially saying like, oh yeah, this was a valid title in the UK, and you're pretty much fighting for all these guys to keep this, you know, this family that we've had over here for a while, as, you know, as a whole championship. It was really cool. It was really cool to have that, to see that. And then the match was fun. This is a really good match. Bron Breakker's fucking great. Tyler Bate is fucking amazing. I really enjoyed the hell out of this match. This is like, this was like my second favorite match of the night. And it was just fucking great. It was really good. Bron Breakker wound up, you know, defeating Tyler Bates at the end. And it was good. I'll say it again. It's fucking great. This wasn't a bad event. For a 2-hour event with, you know, little things here and there from NXT, essentially, it was really fucking cool. It was really good. I enjoyed it a lot. And I'm excited to see what they're going to do with NXT from now on. And are they going to bring the rest of these people over from NXT UK, or are they just gonna leave it as is with just the regular NXT dudes? So we will see. Overall, I would give this pay-per-view, this Worlds Collide, I give it like about a B. Wasn't bad. It wasn't, you know, well, a B, which is like a 4. A 4 out of 5. It wasn't bad. It was very fun. It was very entertaining. And it had fun as it went. It was good. Like, I was enjoying it, and like, I really liked the direction of the whole thing. It was good shit. And then we had last night was AEW's All Out in Chicago.
Yeah.
And this was a fun fucking night of wrestling.
It started off fast paced and it ended equally fast.
Yep. It was really fucking good. There was a lot of shit throughout this entire card. Not only just that it had the entire card, but they also had the 0 hour, which is something that I fucking love that they do over in AEW. Mm-hmm. That they'll have like 4 matches before the event even starts. So in total, they had like 15 matches on this entire card. 0 hour had 4, and then there was 11 matches throughout the entire night after that.
Yeah.
Fucking hugely stacked.
Yeah.
0 hour started out with Ty Mello, formerly Ty Conti, and Sammy against Ortiz and Ruby Soho. The best way to start this is, of course, seeing Sammy Guevara get run over by a golf cart again. Because that's his thing. He does it every single fucking time. He always gets hit by a golf cart. This match didn't even start yet. They were pretty much out in the front, and they got beat up outside, and then Ruby Soho pretty much carried Ty into the ring from the outside, through the crowd, through everything, and this was a good back and forth until Sammy and Ty went to pin, and yeah, it was a decent match. It wasn't great. Sloppy at times.
Ruby got injured. Her nose got broken during the match.
Yeah. Her nose got broken. It was not surprising, but
she's a badass though. She'll be all right.
Yeah, she was fighting with her hand broken and shit too. So
yeah. She don't play.
Yeah, no, she don't give a fuck. She's like, I'll do whatever the fuck I want. The next match after that was Hook. We love Hook here. We enjoy
the fucking best.
Hell yeah. Hook against Cool Hand Angelo Parker. That's it, right? Yeah. Cool Hand Angelo Parker. Mm-hmm. And this was decent. It wasn't a bad match. But before the match, of course, we know Hook's song. It's a song by Action Bronson. And Action Bronson was outside of the ring. He was in the crowd.
I didn't know that he sang that song.
Yeah. That's his song. That's a song from, I think it was Blue Chips or something like that. Like 2000, yeah, 2000 Blue Chips or something like that. It was a good song. Oh, wow. Good album too.
Yeah.
This was a fun match. This is a typical Hook match. Good back and forth, but, you know, Hook just being completely dominant the entire time.
Yeah.
Then after the match, Daddy Matthews runs in and pretty much attacks Hook. And then Action Bronson's like, fuck this. He comes from outside the crowd and pretty much throws the dudes around. He throws around Cool Hand, and then fucking he throws around Daddy Matthews too. And it's like, okay, cool. I like that. And then they pretty much, you know, they stand together at the end of the match. Pretty much like, you know, telling them, yo, come on, let's go, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
But of course they walk out or whatever, and then Hook and Action Bronson, you know, they hug it out at the end. It was a fun match. It was a decent match. It was like, you know, it wasn't bad, it wasn't great. It was a typical Hook match. Still badass, but nothing like spectacular about it.
Hook's matches are pretty much go in, dominate, leave.
Yeah, exactly. Show how good I am, and I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to beat some ass, and you're just going to enjoy it.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Then the next match that I was actually super fucking excited for was the return of Kip Sabian in ring against Pac for the All-Atlantic title.
It's Kip's first match in, like, what,
600 days? Over 500 days.
Yeah, almost as long as Roman Reigns' title run.
Yeah. Because the last time we saw Kip Sabian in ring was for the arcade match that they had. This was the one of the last matches that they had over at the at Daly's place.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Best Friends against Kip Sabian and Miro, because Miro was his essentially not his partner, but he was the best man for Kip, because he had gotten married, and then, you know, blah blah blah. But that was their thing, and that was an amazing match. But then seeing him actually come back after almost a year and a half, almost 2 years of not being in ring against the All Atlantic champion that's been all over the UK, going and defending the title over there, was fucking fantastic. Really good fucking match. Kind of sad that Kip Sabian lost, but it was like, of course, you know, you don't expect somebody that hasn't been around for fucking 2 years almost to come out with a win against a champ that's actually been fighting forever,
right?
But it was still a good match. I really enjoyed it. Pat came out on top, and then at the end of the match, you see Kip Sabian in the middle of the ring screaming at the box, because we've seen him just with the box. Essentially, like, kind of like when Al Snow used to lose back in the day, like, he would scream at the head.
Yep.
Yeah. Very similar feel to this. I'm excited to see how this is going to go.
Yeah, same.
How Kip Sabian's character is going to continue, and who else is going to face in the long run, in the interim. But from what we see so far, I'm digging it. I'm glad that Kip's back. He's bossing ass. Good shit. And then the final match of Zero Hour was Eddie Kingston versus Tomohiro Ishii. Again, part two, because they did this thing a couple months ago over at Worlds Collide over at in New Japan.
Yeah.
And this was a very, very, very balls to the wall badass fucking match. Excuse me. Because Eddie Kingston loves the strong style. He loves beating each other. He just loves hitting hard.
Mm-hmm.
So does Ishii. Ishii, that's what Ishii does. He just fucking... he chops the fuck out of Eddie. There was one point that Ishii's chest was looking very similar to Cody's chest a few months ago.
Oh, shit.
From all the chops that were there. This was an absolute punishment the entire time. And I fucking loved every minute of it. Really fucking good. Kingston came out on top for this one. Fucking great. Essentially leading to potentially having a rubber match at the end of the next few months or whatever. I want to see that. So fucking bad. This was good. This is really damn good, because at the end, Eddie Kingston was trying to, you know, give Ishii his props or whatever, and then Ishii was like, fuck this, I'm out. He just walked out. He was like, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck about you giving me props. Whatever. And he just walks out. And Eddie Kingston's like, yo, like, whatever, dude. Fuck you. But still, a fun opening card. A whole hour of just badass wrestling. Good shit.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you want to watch that and not, you know, pay for the pay-per-view, granted there are other ways of doing it, but watch Zero Hour. It's on YouTube. It's an hour for free. Good shit. And then we got the main card, which was the casino ladder match, which was fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. It started out with fucking what was it? Wheeler Yuta and Race Phoenix.
Yeah.
Fucking dope. Ray Phoenix is fucking great. And then third person, fucking Roosh. Another fantastic dude.
Yep.
All Lucha so far in the beginning. Fucking great. Followed by Claudio coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking love Claudio. He's fucking great. Dante Martin right after that.
He was like, Dante Martin is just so fun.
Yeah.
Like,
he's fucking great.
They called him Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because he pretty much is. I mean, like, he took the opportunity. He just, like, hopped, and, like, next thing you know, he was, like, on top of Claudio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he's just fucking really damn good. So damn good. Then Andrade came into the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And then he fucking... Essentially, he powerbombed Wheeler Yuta onto another ladder that was being held through the ladder and through the second rope.
Yep.
Powerbombed him on that. And I was like, yo, like, I told you, we're going through the back and forth.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, Yuta's dead. It was hard hit.
But yet he managed to still kick some ass later on.
Yeah, he's still dead. He's still dead.
He went Penta from
being... came in. Penta showed up.
Yeah.
And then right after that, a mass assailants ran into the ring.
Yeah.
Very dressed very similar to back in the day in WWE. They had the Retribution. Dressed very similar to Retribution. And then they go in. They basically knock everybody out. And then one of the guys climbs to the top and gets the poker chip. And you're like, who the fuck is this? Who is this? Who's all these people in the mask or whatever? Turns out it's all Stokely and all his people.
But it's crazy to get Morrissey, formerly known as Cass.
Uh-huh.
Which I'm glad that he's, I guess now he's all elite.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's for sure. All automatically. He's done.
But then you got, what was it? It was the Ass Boys.
Yep, the Ass Boys. Ethan Page.
Ethan Page.
Yep. And I think that's pretty much it for them so far.
Yeah.
Until the Joker came out. The Joker comes out.
Wearing this, like, demonic...
A devilish mask. Not only like just that, but he's...
It was like, yeah, it was like a devilish, like, old-school, like, Japanese mask.
Yeah. From what I was telling you, it looked very similar to the Slipknot mask.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, who could this possibly be? And then, as he's coming up, we hear that Rolling Stones' Sympathy for the Devil is coming up, is playing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, who could this possibly be? And then as this whole thing is going down, the entire crowd is super quiet because nobody's saying anything. Nobody hears anything. Nobody's like, everybody's like completely confused.
Now, for those young fans out there that don't know much about the Rolling Stones song, the lyrics are, please let me introduce myself.
Yeah.
Which, it was just the perfect intro to who this person possibly could be.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then just as we think he's about to reveal himself, it's like, no. Next match.
And he walks out. Yep. And he walks out. He's like, yo, like, yeah, why not gonna tell you anything?
And we're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
We're like, who's the fucking Joker?
Yeah, yeah. And then later, of course, at the end of the match, at the end of the whole event, we see who it is. But
yeah. We'll tell you that at the end of this.
We're going in chronological order. We're not going to spoil anything.
Of course.
Yeah. Even though I'm pretty sure you guys have seen it online. But we're not going to spoil it here if you haven't seen it yet. But it was a decent match. That ending kind of like, you know, skewed it just a little bit. But it was still decent.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was followed by the Elite versus Hangman, Adam Page, and the Dark Order.
And the Dark Order.
For the Trios Championship.
Yeah, and the Dark Order coming out rocking purple bandanas in honor of the late, great Brody Lee.
Mm-hmm. Which is the same way that they actually did the last time that they actually tagged with Hangman a while back.
Yeah.
They have, you know, the purple bandanas similar to, you know, him having the purple bandana too. So that's their usual thing when they come out together. It was pretty cool. And this was a banger of a fucking match.
Yeah.
John Silver is the fucking man, yo.
He's fantastic.
he needs like a crazy solo run.
Oh, hell yeah.
This was really damn good. It was really, really interesting to see how Hangman was trying to help out the Elite in like, he was telling, you know, who was it, Reynolds or whatever, that they were stomping on...
They were stomping on Matt Jackson's back, but, like, it's all taped up.
Yeah, and he was like, yo, like, stop, you know, he's hurt, you can't do that to him. And then it was like, okay, we see where this is going. And then at one point they were, like, trying to gang up and beat up on Hangman's arm. And he was like, no, don't do that. He's hurt. You can't do that. You can't continue to do that. And it was just a really good back and forth. Very real deep, really, really good story going on within the match itself, which I really enjoyed.
Absolutely.
It was really damn good. A lot of near falls, a lot of near finishes. It was just really good. Really, really good. And then just as when you think that Hangman and Adam Page is going to come out for the win with the Buckshot Lariat, it doesn't. He doesn't get it. He winds up hitting Silver with the Buckshot because Omega winds up pretty much falling out. Yeah. Or he gets pulled out or whatever, doesn't he?
I think he got pulled out of the way.
Yeah. Basically hitting... it was sad. It was very sad.
It was. He's like, he killed Silver.
Yeah, he killed Silver. And then...
And all the hopes that they had.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. I really, really, really want to see the Dark Order do that heel turn.
Oh, yeah.
Back to where they were in the beginning, as you know, the Dark Order, not the semi-Dark Order,
not the semi-Dark Order, who's pretty much just like a running gag at this point.
Yeah, yeah. But the Elite wound up winning the Trios title, so they are the inaugural Trios champ, essentially making Kenny Omega a Grand Slam champ, essentially, because he won the main title.
Yeah.
He also was a tag team champion, and now he's also a trios champ. So he's had pretty much all the titles other than, you know, the European title or whatever. Well, not the European, the TNT title.
And not for nothing, Kenny Omega looks fucking jacked. Like,
he's in good fucking shape.
He's in sick shape for someone that's been out of action for a long time.
Yeah, he's good.
Which I like that they were sort of hiding that too, with him wearing that compression shirt for his first two matches back.
Yep.
And he knows how to play it.
Yeah, he knows how to work it. It's fucking good. He's fucking good. He's good at what he does, man.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, just think, I was at Grand Slam last year, and it was Omega versus Danielson.
Yep.
In that, you know, what ended in a draw because the 60 minutes or was no, there's the 10
it
minutes,
was 30 minutes, it was 30
minutes. Yeah. Yeah, and it ended, you know, and it's like, okay, that's it.
Yeah, you're like, fuck, I want to see more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a fun match. But yeah, the Elite won the winning this, and it was bittersweet. Like, I kind of knew that was going to happen this way, but I was. I really wanted it to go the other way. I really wanted the Dark Order to actually win. Because, like, I really liked the Dark Order. They're one of my favorite factions in the AEW. So we'll see. We'll see if my thoughts come through fruition and actually having, you know...
The heel turn?
Yeah, the heel turn. But we'll see.
I have a feeling Dynamite this weekend is going to be huge.
So yeah, Dynamite's going to be awesome.
Dynamite's going to be nuts on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge fallout, especially after the press conference and everything too.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that was very interesting. But then it was good. And then following that match, we had Jade Cargill against Athena for the TBS Championship. That was a decent match. Jade Cargill came out looking like She-Hulk, which is very interesting. It was a decent choice.
And Athena basically looked like Starlight from The Boys.
Yeah, she did. And she also had new wings because she always comes out with wings. But then a couple weeks ago, Jade Cargill pretty much smashed the wings that she had previously. And this wasn't a bad match. It was just, it was decent. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't, you know, super spectacular. But I was expecting a little bit more out of this because I really wanted, even though Jade Cargill's really good, I kind of wanted Jade Cargill to actually have, you know, a challenge.
Yeah.
Even though it was a challenging match, I was expecting Athena to actually come forth the win for this one. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. She didn't win. I got from what, and it basically gives her a 37-0 run right now. Since she started, she's 37-0.
She's she's AEW's female Roman Reigns.
Pretty much, she really is. She really is. But you know, she's not bad. She's not great, but she's a decent champ at the moment. Yeah. But for what it looks like they're waiting for Chris Statlander to come back to actually give her the title, which I'm not mad at that either.
Right.
But it's just sad that there is no real competition for her at the moment because everybody else has pretty much run through her, or she's run through everybody else in the roster. So it was a decent match, like I said. Not too bad, not too great. But it was cool. It was cool. Then we had FTR and Wardlow versus Jay Lethal and the Motor City Machine Guns.
That was a great match.
I fucking love the Motor City Machine Guns. They're fucking really damn good. They've been around for a while.
Yeah.
Jay Lethal, another one that's been around for a while. Really fucking good. FTR is fucking great. They got three fucking titles.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
That ref looked like he was struggling.
Yeah. Yeah. Bryce Rumberg was struggling with all the titles. Because he had the six titles from the tag teams, and then Wardlow Championship was his one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was struggling with 10 different belts at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a good match. Chris Sabin and fucking Alex Shelley are fucking fantastic. Well, I love seeing them in ring.
Let us not forget that Dax's daughter
towards the end of the match. Yeah.
No, oh, yeah, she walked him out. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it was good. It was a good walkout. It was pretty cool to see her show up. That day that she pretty much introduced him in a way. It was really cool. It was really good. This was just a fun match. I really liked it a lot.
I enjoyed it a lot too. It was a lot of fun. And it was great. It was great seeing Wardlow get the win on Lethal.
Yeah.
And then
hitting him with the symphony four times.
Yeah. And then what I thought was really great too is that Dax's daughter snapped dude's pencil.
Yeah, she snapped Sanjay Dutt's pencil.
Yeah, because you know he's always known for the pencil.
That's his thing. Yeah, this was a really fun match. It was a good match.
And you know what was cool? Like, she wasn't involved. They didn't have her, like, involved in any physical altercation. It's just, like, she took the one thing from him that matters most. His pencil.
Uh-huh. That's his thing. That's his gimmick. Is the pencil.
And I thought that was done so well. It was like, aw.
Yeah, and then she pinned him the same way that Wardlow will pin anybody with. Just stepping on him and
breaking
him down. It was good. It was a good to know what.
Yeah.
Good. That was a real fun match. This was good. And then we followed with Starks versus Hobbs, which I was really looking forward to, but this match was pretty short.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, Hobbs is a beast.
Yeah, he is.
there's no other way to put it. Like, he's just a fucking beast. He just beats ass no matter what, no matter how you do it, no matter how many you look at it. He's just a big dude that just takes no names and he just does it on a regular. And as Mario say right now, he's a beefy, beefy motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he just kicks ass. And I fucking enjoy the shit out of it. Like I said, I was mad that this match was so short and I'm mad that there was so much build up with Starks in actually building to something like, oh yeah, are we gonna see, you know, this huge match it didn't happen that way.
No, not
that. I really wanted Starks to win.
Yeah, me too.
But that didn't happen, of course. Because essentially this was a squash, which could have been done in 0 hour.
Yeah. This is one of the two matches last night that could have been done at 0 hour.
Yeah. Or just push over to Dynamite. Dynamite. Along with the other match that was just a little bit after this. But we also had Swerve and Red Glory versus the Acclaim, which is the best match of the night.
Oh, 110% the greatest match of the night. And honestly, I'm upset that the Acclaim didn't get to win the gold, but it doesn't mean that they're not going to in the near future.
Right. I'm not upset about it because this was a really good match. I really like Swerve and Our Glory as the champions.
I do, but I'm kind of over them at the same point, especially because how many times is Swerve going to almost betray Keith Lee?
See, but that went back and forth on this one, too. It wasn't just him.
Right.
Because at one point, Keith Lee pretty much squashed him in the ropes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, it's always going to be there. They're not a perfect team, and they've said that plenty of times. They're like, oh, yeah, as a team, yeah, we do have our scuffles back and forth, but we are still a really good team in which that we always fucking win. We always find a way to win.
And you know what's crazy, too, thinking about it? They're both former NXT champions.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. They're both really good in the ring. And
oh, fuck yeah.
Keith Lee does some shit that you're just like, he shouldn't be doing that.
For them, Keith Lee is one of those, like, he's athletic, he's not fit.
Yeah.
You know, he's like in the realm of, like, Kingston.
Yeah.
They're built. They're not fit.
But not only just that, like, he was a former NFL linebacker.
This is true. But, like, in terms of body type, you know, he's fit. He's not fit. He's athletic. And, like, the shit he does, a man of his caliber, it's like, how do you pull off some of the shit? I mean, it also goes back into the days of, like, remember when, like, in WWE, when, like, Kane was getting a huge push?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how does Kane jump from here to here? Man's, like, 7 foot tall and large, you know? Mm-hmm. So it comes to him, like...
But even as then, just go back. Go back a little bit more. Look at Vader back in the day.
Vader was a beast in ring, and the man was fat. Like, he wasn't even fit.
Yeah, he wasn't even fit. He was just a big motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, no, Swerve and Our Glory getting the win... I was like, fuck. But, like, I was literally at the edge of my seat. You could even ask my wife. Like, I was at the edge of my seat for the last, especially, like, the last 10 minutes of the match.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, Bowen's, you know, playing on the injured knee.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, still managing to fucking kick ass. And then I do love when Bowen's was down and Caster took the opportunity to hop out. Drag him to the corner, hop back in, and get the tag.
Yep.
I was like, okay, this is dope. And
that's good tag team wrestling.
That's right good there. Tag team wrestling. And
what was really fun was seeing Caster pick up Keith Lee on his shoulders.
Yes.
That was fucking great.
That was as impressive to me as old school John Cena lifting, who was it, Big Show and, fuck, who was it that he fucking did the double FU to?
Yeah. Cena.
You know, it was Cena.
No, not Cena.
Was it Edge and Big Show?
I don't remember,
but like you're like, holy shit, how does... I mean, obviously, they help, but, like, seeing Caster lift up...
Seeing that... Edge and Christian.
That's not what I'm talking about, but, yeah. but, no, with the... him, Caster being able to lift up... Keith Lee like that, and just fucking, and oh man, it was such a great match.
It was great. It was really damn good.
I'm looking forward to seeing a round two.
And if you were paying that, if you saw the media scrum, they said essentially it could possibly happen, but of course, you know, we never know from here until then.
Right.
For, what is it? Grand Slam possibilities. But then, of course, at this point, they're like, no, we don't want that to happen because they need to start back from the bottom. We can't just have them just within a month come go for the titles again.
Right.
That's what they were saying in the media show. Like, no, 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 fuck that. Mario says, Big Show and Edge Christian.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, we don't, I mean, that could just be them not trying to spoil anything, too. Like, we don't.
It could be.
I mean, Grand Slam's come, for me, Grand Slam is coming up in, today, as we record, it's Monday, September 5th. Grand Slam is in 16 days.
Yeah.
So, which I can't believe. It's, I'm like, come on, you know, like, move the calendar.
hurry up.
I want, like, 5 hours of wrestling again.
Then you will be getting 5 hours of wrestling, because that night would also, there'll also be 2 hours of Rampage.
That's right.
Yeah.
It, you know, I still remember when I went, and I thought I was just going to see Dynamite, and and then the rumors that we were getting Rampage, too, and then TK was like, you know, while you guys are here, how about we get Rampage? I'm like, what? Yeah. You know? Yeah. And then the fact that it was 2 hours, I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen at Grand Slam. They come up with a lot of surprises.
Yep. So we'll see. Yeah. The next match after this was Britt Baker, DMD, versus Jamie Hayter, Hikaru Shida, and Tony Storm for the interim women's championship.
Yeah.
And this was a good match.
Yeah, it was okay. I texted you last night when it was on. I was like, yeah, while this is on, I already know what's going to happen. I'm going to take a shower.
That's fair.
But the fact that they gave, I mean, I was even saying to my wife, who was watching most of the pay-per-view with me, it's like, I was hoping they gave it to Tony Storm.
Right.
You know, and I'm glad that they did. I was just like, oh, it's going to go to Britt. Like, that's just what's going to happen. You know, and I'm absolutely shocked that it went to Tony Storm.
Okay. See, like, I wanted either Tony Storm. I kind of figured it was going to be Tony Storm. But I also wanted Jamie Hayter. Jamie Hayter's been around for a while. She disappeared for a while, but then she came back.
Right.
But she's been there for a little bit, and I enjoy her style. I enjoy her wrestling. I was just surprised that they didn't give it to her yet. Like, I want her to be the champion. She's fucking great. She's really damn good. She knows how to work the ring. She's been in the ring for, she's been wrestling for a while. We just haven't seen her over here for a long time.
Right.
She's been around for a while. She's done a lot of stuff in the Indies, a lot of stuff in the UK and stuff like that, and even in Japan. She's been in Japan for a while, too. But, like, I enjoy the way she does things. And Tony Storm is the same way. They both wrestled each other plenty of times in the past. So I was kind of sad that they didn't give it to Jamie Hayter. But it was still a good back and forth. I'm kind of excited to see that Hayter and DMD's relationship could possibly just end after this, because there was a moment where Jamie Hayter was about to pin, I think it was either Shida or she was about to pin somebody, and then DMD pretty much pulled the ref out of the ring just when she was pinning him, when she was pinning the other person. I was like, okay. And then she was like, yo, like, this is my chance. Why? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? She's like, no, you can't have that. You can't have this belt or whatever. So I was like, okay. okay, we see where this is going. We see that where the loyalty has pretty much been for nothing.
Right.
Because she's been by her side for a while, and then like, mm-hmm. like, no, fuck you, I want this fucking title. Like, yo, you're a fucking little selfish bitch. So seeing an essential, a possible face turn for Jamie Hayter, it's going to be dope. It's going to be interesting. I want to see where this is going to go. And of course, Sheena's fucking great. She's fucking awesome. Like, it's good that they brought her in there to essentially possibly actually go for the title win. Mm-hmm. But of course, I kind of figured she wasn't going to get the win in this one. But like we said, Tony Storm came out on top, and she's going to be an interesting industry champ. Like, I want to see what she's going to do. I want to see who is going to be coming up to her as champ or trying to go for the championship. And seeing how her run is going to go. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a real fun one.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah. Then the next match, would you really even call it a match? Because it was supposed to be a match, and that never really fucking happened. Christian Cage versus Jungle Boy Jack Perry. They finally gave him his name, or he finally got the rights to use his name in ring.
Yeah, this is another one that should have been on like Dynamite or even the Zero Hour.
Yeah, it could have been a fucking Rampage for all I care. I was just like, okay, I'm gonna go get some water, and I came back.
Match was over.
I'm like, what the fuck?
So after all this build up, all this hype for weeks after weeks after weeks, it was like, oh, Jungle Boy came out, and you expect so he's like. And he points to the entrance where all the baby faces come out, expecting Luchasaurus. Mm-hmm. And then Luchasaurus comes out of the heel one and destroys Jack Perry. But what's fitting is that Christian's shirt said worked everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it truly fit that, like, once again, he worked everyone by making people think that Luchasaurus was a face again. Yep. Although, if you do remember, I always questioned, why is he still wearing the black?
Why does he still have that creepy song?
Yeah. So if he's a face, why is he still wearing all this shit? Mm-hmm. So I was just disappointed, man, you know? And, I mean, I get the real reason, because Christian is actually injured right now.
Yeah.
So he's not medically cleared to, you know, have a full-on match. So they just had him do whatever the hell, you know, Luchasaurus did.
He walked out and just went for the pin. That's it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So it sucks that, like, after all this hype, this is the outcome. And, yeah. It could have been on Dynamite. Sorry, on Rampage.
Oh, shit. For all the fucks, it could have been on fucking... It could have just been on one of the dark matches.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because some of the dark matches actually count, too. Well, not that they don't count. They do count, because they do count for the record and shit. But, yeah. Like... This didn't need to happen on a pay-per-view.
No. This could have been a spot saved for something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or a spot held for, you know what I mean? Like, time added to another match.
Yep. Yep.
Or
not only just that, but, like, just cut down on all the matches in general.
Yeah. And so the next match was what? It was Lionheart Chris Jericho versus Bryan Danielson?
Yes. Fantastic match.
Fantastic match. Interesting that they gave Jericho the win.
Yep. Yep. Very interesting to see that. But it's okay.
And what we had suspected didn't happen. We thought that it was going to be Garcia interfering and, you know, and joining the BCC. But, I mean, but that could be something they're saving for future story, because the way that Garcia was staring at the monitor in the back, and then...
He looked disappointed.
He looked disappointed.
He actually cheated.
Yeah, and then what you call it? When the JAS all came running down to go save Jericho, who was absent?
Yeah, he wasn't there. But then I don't know if you saw it shortly after that, but Garcia pretty much was telling Jericho, like, "Yo, like, I'm disappointed in you. Like, yeah, I'm glad that you won, but I'm disappointed that you actually cheated to win.
Yeah,
you didn't win the right way. You didn't win the honorable way as a, you know, as a regular wrestler or whatever." Mm-hmm. And then Jericho was pretty much like, "Yo, like, I appreciate you, you know, liking me or whatever, and you know, I'm always there for you, but coming up on your next match, which is going to be Daniel Garcia against Wheeler Yuta for the ROH title.
Yeah, on Wednesday.
He Jericho pretty much told him, like, I'm not going to be there. You're going to have to do this on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a turn soon.
If not this coming week, I mean, for all I know, it's going to be at the Grand Slam at Matt.
Right. So this is going to be really interesting. I this is one of those stories that I'm just, like, super fucking interested in.
Yeah, this one has a lot of high interest for me, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's one of the best ones right now.
Yeah, it's like, because it has that, the real raw emotion of, like, in real life, Jericho really did help pay for Garcia's recovery. Mm-hmm. But then it's like the Garcia in real life idolizing Danielson. And I like that. I mean, I guess I'll admit I was wrong where I thought this was going to be a complete carbon copy of the MJF Punk thing.
Oh, yeah, you did say that.
Because it did really feel like that in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, you beat up my hero thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that it went a different direction and that it's going into this whole new direction of, you know, we don't know. It's not about the when, it's not about the when, it's about the where it's going to happen.
Yep.
You know, because we know it's going to happen. It's guaranteed that Garcia is going to have enough of dealing with Jericho and his cheating, and he's tired of being a sports entertainer.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
And especially how over he is with the fans, too, already.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, just whenever Garcia comes out, fans are cheering him.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. They're just, they know he's going to be something big.
Mm-hmm.
And so does everybody. I mean, Jericho knows he's going to be big. Because Jericho makes people. He's at that level.
Yeah.
And Tony Khan knows that Garcia is going to be something.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and that's why
it's one of the reasons why he gave him a contract. Like, he's fucking great.
He is fucking great.
I've been watching him since he's had a bunch of dark matches before he even got signed.
Yeah.
Before he was even in the fucking accident. Like, he was really good then.
Yeah. So.
So it was good. I'm excited to see. I want to see where his story's going to go. Because it's an interesting one, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good one. Then the next match that we had over here was the House of Black versus Sting, Darby, and Miro.
Yeah.
This was a decent match.
For the most part.
Yeah, it was okay. Like, I really wanted the House of Black to come out with a win on this one.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess the House can't always win on this one, I guess, right?
And crazy to see how much punishment Sting was taking while he had on the Scorpion Deathlock.
Yeah, yeah. He's a fucking beast, dude. Sting really knows how to take a beating, man.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Malakai Black taking a
hiatus? Was very solid.
Yes. Yeah, I agreed. But, like, Malakai basically bowed out, like, teasing people. Because I know he asked for AEW release and he got denied because he has a couple of more years. Mm-hmm. So is he just taking time off to really, like, gather his thoughts?
Probably. Because he's been feeling, you know, out of it as of late.
Yeah.
Could just be emotional shit. Could be, you know, just your mental health type thing, which is totally understandable because you're on the water bunch.
And, like, I really want them to actually do something with the House of Black because I think they have so much potential.
Not just something, because they've been doing something.
But I want them to do better.
Not something substantial.
Yeah, I want them to be better.
Because I really wanted them to actually have the Trios Championship because they deserve
it. So did I. They fucking deserve it.
Yeah.
I mean, Brody, aside from Malakai, like Brody King and even Buddy Murphy are fucking beasts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's fucking, these guys left a company that did nothing with them. I forget, was Brody King NXT too?
I believe so. I don't remember. Because,
I mean, we all know, what's it called? We all know Malakai, a.k.a. Alistair, was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was. He was definitely for sure.
Yeah, he was WWE for sure. I mean, considering, you know, he was one of the ones that Edge wanted to wrestle in the beginning when he came back from his thing, because it was part of his speech on that Raw. And then...
Oh, yeah.
Okay, he was ROH.
Yep.
Okay, but still, you had Buddy Murphy, who was so fucking underutilized in NXT. Mm-hmm. You know, especially, you know, when it became 2.0 and full of, like, sunshine and rainbows and, you know, Vince McMahon and his bullshit. And now he's spectacular in AEW, but they're not really doing anything. House of Black is becoming they're becoming a joke of themselves. They're becoming the Dark Order. And ish.
Yeah, yeah. They're a violent Dark Order.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So which, I really hope they do something better with them over time.
Yeah. I really hope so. I know they can do it.
But will they?
I want to see where it goes exactly. And how? Like you said previously, like how are they going to do this?
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be interesting. That he said Brody was also in MLW, which is another little thing over on the West Coast. Major League Wrestling, I think it is. Yeah, but this was a decent match. It was pretty cool that Sting hit Malakai with the Mist as well.
Yeah.
It was very cool. Basically giving him his, you know, his due. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen. I want to see what else is the House of Black is going to do now that Malakai isn't going to be around. Especially now that they also have Julia Hart in the mix. Because she's been doing a lot of good shit as far as becoming a better wrestler as she's essentially... She's been doing a lot of dark stuff. She's still, you know, still performing, still doing her thing. But she's building up. She is at this point, I was watching today earlier on Dark Elevation... she's 15-2 since she started with the Dark Order. No, oh, with wow. with the House of Black.
That's so great.
She's getting better. She's getting better. She's getting good. And it could just be that she's within the House of Black, but
yeah,
it's coming to something that's going to be pretty good. She's becoming slowly more and more technical.
Yeah.
So you see the influences of the guys with her and showing her things and basically teaching her how to be a better wrestler, which is really fucking cool. So I want to see what's going to happen with her. I want to see what's going to happen with the rest of House of Black. I want to see how this is going to pan out in the long run.
I'm surprised that it took this long for the cat to take a shit during the podcast.
I know, right? I know. I guess she was like, oh, yeah, I didn't do it last week, so I'm going to do it now. Running around with taking shit so bad.
So I guess that our final match of the night then was CM Punk versus Moxley.
Yep.
And then it was a lot of back and forth. It was crazy how quickly it was almost a squash match.
At the very beginning, I was like, holy shit, this is going to be a squash already, just like the last one?
Yeah, but then they actually, like, fought, and then I'm not surprised that they gave it to Punk, they were in Chicago.
Yeah, that would have surprised either.
You know.
It seems like everybody in their hometown in AEW does get a hometown win.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, Mox also got the hometown win last time.
Right,
when he won when he was the interim champ for the other champ.
I'm indifferent with the victory.
Yeah.
Because I love Punk as champion, and sure, Summer of Punk got ruined because he broke his foot.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly. But, but...
No, but it wasn't allegedly. Like, it's
no, mostly, he literally, yeah. But,
he fucked that shit up.
Yeah, so, like, with everything that happened with him, you know, because we all know that he wanted to be champion from that infamous tease earlier in the year. He kept like doing like the, you know, hand around his waist thing.
Yeah.
And then it was great that he got to be champion. And then, of course, a couple of days later, having to relinquish it due to, yeah. Well, not really relinquish it like they do in WWE, but like, kind of put it on hold.
Mm-hmm.
Which I like that, but I also wish they did a relinquish thing where you have to work for it again.
Right.
Not like, I'm just going to take it because now I'm better. The thing I also, but why I'm also kind of like indifferent with this match is because I really wanted a longer Moxley, not interim world title, run, because Mox is a beast.
But if you really want to think about it, being that Mox was a champion for a good point of time within AEW, he was a champion pretty much the whole pandemic.
Yeah.
Until just before, what was it? Was it the one that Kenny won? Or no, I'm bugging. I'm tripping. But he held it for a while. Oh, until Hangman.
Right, because Moxley beat Jericho for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Moxley won it from Jericho, and then he lost it to Kenny Omega, I believe it was, and then Kenny Omega lost it to Hangman, and then Hangman lost it to Punk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So great match, great crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But then the lights go dark.
Yep.
And then you see a video clip of Punk in ROH saying the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Which everybody's like, oh shit, what's going on now? Oh, let's all go rewind the time back to the beginning of the thing where Sympathy for the Devil came out, came on, and please let me introduce myself.
But not only just that, but also as this is going on, before the clip, there are also, you hear voicemails. Tony Khan saying like, yo, like, you need to come back. Like, you know, willing to give you more money.
I'm willing to put the past behind us. I'm willing to just, you know, forget that you said certain things, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see from the person's back, you see the mask come off.
Mm-hmm.
You recognize the haircut.
Mm-hmm.
The Burberry scarf goes around the neck.
Yep.
And surprise, it's the return of MJF, which...
Yep.
We all knew he was coming back. Yeah. There was speculation at All Out. I mean, for all we know, it could have been even like their save for this coming Wednesday's Dynamite, but they chose to do All Out, which I think is cool.
Yep.
And MJF walking out and signaling champion,
yep,
but then flipped off the crowd.
Yeah.
So
even though he is a heel, he is getting cheered on like a baby face, like a motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see that MJF is going to have this faction that includes Stokely, Morrissey, the Ass Boys. Ethan Page.
Yep.
I mean...
And if you really want to go into it, you also have fucking Jade Cargill and the Baddies alongside, too.
Yeah.
So yeah, he has a hell of a team over there.
So it's interesting, and especially because isn't Stokely the one that always hands out business cards?
Yep.
Yeah. So we see what he's been up to.
Yeah, he's been recruiting. It's gonna be interesting because do you really want to think, like, just think about it? Could this be just MJF paying Stokely off to do all this?
Right.
Could this have been the whole thing from the beginning? essentially,
yeah, we'll find out more.
Coming over to AEW, and him, he's been essentially the person on the side trying to help or ease the story within, you know, within the thing where MJF is gonna do whatever it takes to have a win somehow.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be, if that's the case, I am totally down for that shit.
I'm down for that shit too. And you know what? Honestly, like, I'm glad MJF kept his same theme too. Mm-hmm. Because that theme fits his character.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Absolutely. And it's just like, it's going to be interesting to see what he has to say when he talks at Dynamite.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because you know we're going to get that.
Yeah. I mean, they already confirmed too. We'll hear from MJF. So,
yeah.
What a, so, you know, like, it's great that we had a full week of wrestling.
Yeah, a full weekend.
Weekend, I should say. Yeah. We had a wrestling pay-per-view trilogy.
Uh-huh.
But it's nice that it closed out with, you know, with a banger. Because honestly, for the majority, like, I'm gonna say that,
And MJF used that. To also be an MLW. Very interesting. I did not know that either.
So, minus those two matches that were kind of like, I gotta say, All Out was fucking great.
Yeah, it was a bit long.
It was a bit long.
Granted, that's what the AEW does because they only have 4 pay per views a year.
Yeah.
Which is totally understandable. Like I said, it's worth it. Like, I don't mind sitting there 4 hours, or essentially, if you think about it, 5 hours. I don't mind because that's what I do on a weekly basis anyway.
Yeah. So this was their fucking risk. So this was their 4th pay per view.
No, their 4th pay per view is Full Gear coming up in November.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be interesting to see. You know, it's gonna be, but it's gonna be interesting to see where this faction goes and. You know, everything else. So,
So I'm excited. I'm excited for Dynamite.
I'm excited for Dynamite too.
I want to see what's going to happen. I want to see where stories are going to go, how continuous these stories are going to go, how stories are going to continue in the long run. It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be real cool to see.
Yeah.
Let's fucking wait.
All right. Yeah. Potential. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Richard Dean, that's what a full gear is going to be in November.
Yeah. If I can, I would love to go to that.
Hell yeah. Shit, I would love to go to that shit.
I mean, Prudential from Manhattan is not that far.
No, it's not.
It's go to the Port Authority and then just go to the arena.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. Yeah, so that was that's quite a lot of wrestling.
So overall, what did you think about All Out? What would you give it? Because I know I've been rating all the other ones so far.
Yeah. I'm gonna give it an 8 out of 10.
Okay. So you give it like a B plus. Okay. Okay, that's fair.
See, like,
I was rating after 5. I was saying out of 5, I'd give this like a 4.5 out of 5.
Mario's saying Penn Station and Newark.
Yeah, that sounds about right. To go to a pretentious center. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Still not far.
Yeah, no, not far at all.
So, aside from being a bit long, aside from especially the two matches that we said could have been on other shows.
Yep.
Solid work by everybody, though.
Absolutely.
And you know what? Even though the match was like kind of a letdown, kudos to Christian working injured.
Yeah.
You know, and still doing the thing to make the fans hate him.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
To me, this is honestly his best heel turn.
He's had plenty of heel turns.
But this is like his best run as a heel.
Yeah. So I'm excited. My favorite match, of course, is still going to be. The Acclaimed versus Swerve and Our Glory.
Great
match. The best match of the night.
Absolutely best match of the night.
I could watch that match all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Because it's fucking good. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it for all the wrestlings for this weekend. Of course, we got Raw and Dynamite and everything happening this weekend, too. But I guess we'll cut it off here. So go check out all the shit over at InnerCityGeeks.net. Got a whole bunch of shit up there. Of course, we got the regular show. We also got Turntable that's returned with one episode so far. Bryce J Presents. Comics of the World, Manga Time, Anime World, which Mario's going to be working on some shit for soon. There's so much shit over there. Go check all that shit out. Then we got some Google Places. You can find the links to all the description in the descriptions. Find the links to all those places. Then you can find the show on SoundCloud, on Stitcher Radio, on Google Podcast, and on motherfucking Spotify, because we love Spotify over here. So check it out. Check all the stuff over there. And then you can find the show on spacyspace.com/InnerCityGeeks, on Twitter at InnerCityGeeks, on Instagram at InnerCityGeeks. And where can we find you, sir?
You could find me on social media. Check out Bright2J Presents on both Twitter and Instagram. Check out Bright2JPresents.com. Check out Bright2J Presents on YouTube, where I have a lot of content coming your way soon. And where can I find you?
Yeah, you guys can find me on the Twitter and the Instagram at Mr. Jackal, MisterJackal. That about wraps it up. And Mario says, in 10 days, we should be getting more of his stuff over there. So 10 days. Mark your calendars, people. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate the fuck out of you. Let us know what you thought about all the wrestling this past week, this past weekend. It'd be awesome to hear. Again, thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you. But we wish you all the best in your future endeavors.